Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We say let it naturally happen. You know, if it's going to get us a first down and he's not going to get hit, run all the time. I don't care. You know, that's good. You get it, but that means we're moving to football. But be a thrower first, right? Be a passer, be a quarterback. And then if your legs come into play, that's the next part of playing that position that some other people don't have.
Welcome back into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm hanging out with Arthur Arkush here for another hour. We'll take you up to Bears pregame coverage at 12 o'clock. For now, we will go out to the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. There we will find Eric Edholm, covers the National Football League for Yahoo Sports. Good morning, Eric. What's going on, man?
Yeah, not too much. Guys get a little time before the kickoff. It's a nice little break there.
How about it, huh? It's not a bad scenario. And it seems like we have had just about 6 months or so since the last time the Bears played a football game. It certainly seems that way. I think Arthur said it feels like there's been a whole season just within this extended bye week that the Bears have had. How do you feel that it's going to affect this team after such a long layoff? Do you think that is a help or a hindrance going into this game today at Soldier Field?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes teams will you know, sit there over their bye and really kind of do some internal scouting and rest up from injuries and recover from any, you know, kind of mental wear and tear, and they come out fresh. Coming out at home is obviously a benefit, even though there is some stat out there. I'll have to dig it up if I can, but you know, home teams coming off a bye tend to not do very well, at least according to the spread. But it's really hard to tell. I think there's probably a renewed energy and focus after, you know, the London experience and everything. And, you know, this is still one of the best defenses, and they'll be facing a team without, you know, two of its stars today. So this is a good opportunity for the Bears to kind of reassert themselves, I think.
Eric, we heard from Matt Nagy discussing Mitch Trubisky as you were coming on, and just kind of want to get your general assessment on Mitch. He's obviously, has come under fire, seemingly even while he's been injured. Somehow the criticism has managed to increase around Mitch Trubisky. I don't get how that works, but what can he do over these final 11 games to kind of secure his future here, if not kind of silence some of those doubters?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's, I think, a critical time for him and him coming back and being healthy and supposedly having a good week of practice and everything. I mean, those are all positive signs. You know, there is so much negative energy floating out there about him. You know, Mitch is never going to reach the peak that we thought and all this stuff. And, you know, I say put those comparisons aside, the Mahomes-Watson stuff, and let's see if, the Bears can get the best version of Mitch Trubisky, right? Even if he's not going to be as good as either one of those two, we could be talking about generational talents there, and that is too bad that they missed out on him. But what if they just maximize what Mitch can be? And, you know, there were times last season when he seemed great. I don't know that he had a brilliant four quarters in any one game, but that's a good starting point, right? Let's have a game that's mistake-free. I mean, I guess other than Tampa Bay, but let's have a game where he's, A, not making mistakes, but also B, capable of making some of those high-level throws where, you know, the defense at least has to respect that fact. And we just, I don't know, we haven't seen that to this point, but I'm not completely throwing him out either.
No, I think it's a little premature to completely dismiss him. I mean, Arthur and I talked about that a little bit earlier. We're kind of the middle of the road with Trubisky right now. Yeah. Obviously, you know, it's clear he's not Patrick Mahomes, and you're right, he might be, Mahomes might be, you know, a once in a generation kind of guy, Deshaun Watson on a similar level. So that's probably, while it's fair, I think, to rate quarterbacks, you know, next to their peers and guys that they were drafted with, you do have to be a little bit more realistic and realize what you have and what you don't have. Now, a big point of contention here has been a lot of the play calling as well. Is that helping or hindering Mitch and his development? And should they open it up and let it fly and not dumb it down or anything? Where do you stand with where Matt Nagy's play calling has been specifically so far this season in correlation to Trubisky?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year it's fair to say that, you know, when you saw Mitch do well, especially early in games when Nagy had a script or, you know, they were going off plays that they knew were going to be in their openers or their first 15 plays or whatever, you know, it felt like Trubisky could use a little hand-holding, and he did well in those portions. It was after that, you know, it was usually the second and third quarters that you tended to see the bad Mitch kind of come out a little bit last year. You know, this year it's been kind of all over the place. We've seen him struggle early in games, in the middle, late. It's been a little bit more scattershot. So is it fair to say that play calling is the direct result of that? I don't know, but there definitely have been times where I felt like they've tinkered with personnel so much. You know, they've used Cordero Patterson in place of, you know, Montgomery, or they've not been able to scheme open Anthony Miller, things like that. You know, the usage of the tight ends. You know, some of that is probably, you know, up for debate whether that's the best thing to do. So, look, I know Matt Nagy's an imaginative play caller. I know he has a whole, you know, room full of plays that he can unroll at any point. Sometimes it's going basic and getting a little simpler. And you know, I mean, I don't know that there's any specific things I can point to, but I can definitely say that there are times when I think they kind of outthink themselves a little bit. So maybe this bye week allows them to kind of streamline things a little.
Eric, as far as imaginative and aggressive play callers go, certainly the Bears will see one today on the other sideline in Sean Payton. But we're not going to recognize the Saints offense, at least personnel-wise, especially in the backfield otherwise. How basic does Sean Payton have to keep it today against this Bears defense with Teddy Bridgewater and Latavius Murray and I guess with Josh Hill, whoever the backup tight end is? And then more big picture, how do you kind of rank where the Saints are at in this NFC, which seems maybe a little bit more muddled than some expected at this juncture?
Yeah, I think the way they've played defensively has been pretty darn impressive, especially the last, you know, 3-4 weeks or whatever it's been. And, you know, you have to factor that in. I mean, when they went up to Seattle after the tough loss to the Rams, you know, you saw them win in a way with Teddy Bridgewater that, you know, maybe people didn't expect them to. So I kind of get the feeling, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I kind of get the feeling that Sean Payton is really craving this challenge today. Not that, you know, he's disrespecting the Bears defense, but more that, let me see if I can win a game without my starting quarterback, Hall of Fame QB, rare talent in Kamara, who, you know, obviously impacts the run game and the receiving game as well. Such a different weapon that they can't replace the one guy. I just get the feeling that he kind of savors this challenge and that he's going to throw everything out there, whether it's, you know, Taysom Hill on the field in different roles, whether it's, you know, finding some of these young receivers and getting roles for them as well, and having Murray be part of this. You know, when Payton won that game against Dallas, the first time in his career he did so without an offensive touchdown, to me, I think he looks back on that Dallas game as a big win, and that he was able to coach his way through the game without offensive explosion. So they can win games in different ways than they have in the past. They're not all shootouts. They're not all these, you know, Star Wars passing games. So there might be an element of that where the aggression comes out in different ways from Payton. You see a fourth down fake, you know, them going for two at some point along the way. You know, we know the onside kick from years ago in the Super Bowl. He's capable of taking that mentality and kind of disarming the opponent a little bit, even if he doesn't have a full cast of characters out there.
Taking a look at a few of the other goings-on around the National Football League with Eric Edholm here. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. The big news from Thursday night, the injury to Patrick Mahomes. How do you think the Chiefs are going to be able to cope without him for at least 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like it could be a 2-3 or 4 week deal, and they have a bye after that fourth game there. So if they want to be cautious, then I would recommend that they be as careful as possible with that generational talent, a player who, you know, could be an absolute franchise changer for him. I think he already is in a lot of ways. So yeah, I mean, it's not as if Matt Moore, who, you know, didn't do a bad job, and it's not as if they're going to run the same offense with him there. So, like we were talking about with Payton, I mean, some of these coaches, they don't just say, oh, boy, you know, I don't know what we're going to do without him. They take this as a challenge. They see it as an opportunity to kind of prove their worth as an offensive, you know, designer and play caller. And you know, how do we maximize our talent with what we have? That's, I think, the question they're going to ask. So they've gotten Tyreek Hill back. You know, Mecole Hardman's been really good early on. They have a stable of running backs that they like and can use readily. So, you know, if they get better offensive line play than I think they've gotten, it hasn't been bad, but it wasn't at the level that they were at last year. So, you know, going 2-1, 1-2, 2-2 if he misses four games, not the end of the world, right? Chargers are 2-4. We don't know how good the Raiders are right now. They're, to me, still in control of this division. So this is probably best-case scenario, all things considered.
Well, we know the Chiefs will have some big fans here in Chicago with, I believe, the Packers and the Vikings up next, both in Arrowhead. So that'll be an interesting – the timing on that stuff is always super interesting. Out west as well, Eric, what do you think the Rams were thinking in the essentially swapping out Marcus Peters for Jalen Ramsey? And, you know, talk about timing. Now they go to Atlanta, and he'll see Julio Jones in his Rams debut.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, just a fascinating trade. I think a lot of people are saying, well, that's great. You got a really good corner, but you had a guy in Marcus Peters who's, look, I don't love him on the same level that I do Ramsey as a player, but, right. You know, is it that big an upgrade? Was offensive line a position that they could have used some reinforcements? You know, they really thinned out. They added a kid, Austin Corbett, who's really been a bust at this point in his NFL career. You don't know what you're going to get from him. They're going to be starting Wisconsin's David Edwards today at guard. He's never taken an NFL snap on offense. So, I mean, you know, it's fair to ask those other questions and say, did they allocate their resources to the right place? It doesn't sound like Washington's going to let Trent Williams go in a trade, which, I don't know, that's a whole other topic. I don't get that thinking. But it really is fascinating because I wrote a piece this week saying, you've seen this trend now more with Puntle, even Khalil Mack, other deals that have happened the last 2 years, let's say. Teams aren't valuing first-round picks as much as we think they should, and I think they're right because you're really talking about a coin flip kind of proposition here. I mean, most guys don't become stars. They become either good players or they're busts. So I think a lot of people are saying, look, we trust our scouting staff to find players later in the draft. We can give up our first-rounders for known commodities. So if he becomes a playmaker on the back end and really gives that defense a boost, I guess you really can't argue what they've done.
The Trent Williams thing also kind of befuddles me, but it's best not to use logic when talking about Washington because they usually don't have much of it. And they're hosting San Francisco today. The Niners 5-0, I think a pretty big surprise for me anyway. I certainly didn't expect them, and I'm a Jimmy Garoppolo fan, but what do you make of San Francisco so far this year? Are they for real, and can they keep up this torrid pace? Are they going 16-0, Eric, at home?
Yeah, they are. You can put it down on record right now. I mean, that's just no doubt about it. No, but I mean, I think you're right to say that. I thought they'd be better. I didn't know they'd be at this point at this place of the season. So it's been the massive upgrade on defense. You know, the improved play on that side of the ball. You know, one of you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I think they had 5 forced turnovers last year. Think about that compared to the Bears or any other team that's, you know, at the top of the league in that category. I think they had like 3 interceptions and 2 forced fumbles. I guarantee you they've passed that number so far this season. They've been one of the best defensive units in the league. Secondary's tightened up, fast, you know, active linebackers. And all those resources they've pumped into the defensive line, guess what? It's working. So Robert Saleh, their defensive coordinator, came under a lot of fire last year. A lot of people wanted him gone. He's done a remarkable job. The energy's there. Garoppolo's been fine. I mean, he hasn't been great. He's had some passes that would have been touchdowns or would have been big plays that have been dropped. But they're making up for it with great defense, solid special teams for the most part, except for that one game from Robbie. I mean, it's been a good formula, and it's worked so far. And they faced, you know, I wouldn't say the greatest team so far, but they faced enough quality teams, especially that Rams game where you say, we got to take them seriously. We got to consider them legit. We'll see how they match up with, you know, the better teams around the league once they start playing them.
And obviously interesting, too, you know, it kind of adds another layer, Eric, to the Rams deal at 3-3. They sit and, you know, send out the first rounders, 5-0, 49ers, 4-1, Seahawks. So those teams rolling a little bit as well. Let's get back to the NFC North for just a minute. What do you think, you know, the Vikings and the Lions meet today, and the Packers are hosting the Raiders. We all knew the division was going to be really good. Maybe the Packers have been even a little bit better than we thought. Maybe the Lions have been a little bit better than we thought. But does it feel set up for the Packers as they're kind of in cruise mode? Or are you convinced by Kirk Cousins in his 2-game sort of ascent again? Where do you sort of handicap this thing at?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to know where Kirk Cousins is going to be because there has been such a wide variance in his play. And I'd still love to see them be a little bit more balanced. I'd like to see their defense kind of take over a little bit more than they have so far. So, you know, I'm not ready to cast them aside. I definitely think there's some intrigue in the fact that people have questioned Cousins' mental toughness, kind of his makeup, and you know, is he the true face of a franchise guy? Look, he faced a ton of internal and external pressure with that whole Diggs Thielen thing. And he's played really well. So it's really, really hard to question what he's done to this point. Let's give him a little bit of credit for that. Are they a great team? I don't know. I don't think so. But I think they're good, and they're going to be competitive in this race. But I still say the Lions are going to be plucky. They're going to be a tough out. They don't look like a typical fourth-place team or anything like that. So I'm still backing the improvements they've made. And you look at some of the ways they've lost this season, it's been really tough. So, I mean, they've been very, very competitive. They're not going away. And Green Bay has plenty to clean up. It's not as if they're, you know, rolling and no questions asked. We know what happened Monday, obviously. It was not a game you typically win. So they still have some improvement to do, especially in offense as they get healthier at wide receiver and that sort of thing.
Couple more minutes here with Eric Edholm. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Who do you think is the best team in the NFC?
I mean, it's so hard with so many quarterbacks injured and all these different, you know, I mean, it's like when Breeze gets back, could they be the best? Maybe. But right, you know, I'll pick the Bears to win today. So it's really difficult to say. You know, how much does the Peters trade help the Rams out? Are the Packers and 49ers, by virtue of their records, should we be respecting them among the top group, you know, teams on that side of the bracket? I don't know. The depth is impressive. I mean, there are 10 teams I think you could argue have a legitimate chance of being a playoff team this year. And yet, I don't know that any one has stood so much taller than the rest. So give the 49ers the credit what they've done so far. Respect the Saints in the long game, knowing that they're going to be getting healthier. But I would say this field feels pretty wide open, and it's going to be kind of a bloodbath watching all these teams knock each other off.
Is the NFC East kind of meh? Who digs themselves out of the 3-3 hole at Jerry World today, Eric?
Can I tell you? Yeah, I was going to say, can I tell you after the game? I mean, this one has a feeling of you've been hearing the teams kind of go back and forth, right, and the whole Doug Peterson guaranteeing a win nonsense and all that stuff. And I don't know. This has a chance to be either a really great game or a really ugly one. And one of the teams is going to be 3-4, right? I mean, they're going to be below 500. So, yeah, no team right now is above 500 in the division, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
After three games, the Cowboys look darn good. The Eagles have had some moments where they look like the team to beat in that division. So I would say the winner of this one obviously has a nice little leg up on, you know, as we get to the second half of the season. But it's really hard to say. The Eagles' injuries, they are getting healthier in the secondary, though. I do feel pretty good about them not trading for Jalen Ramsey because of all those guys are getting back.
I picked Philly to win the Super Bowl, so hopefully,
for my own sake,
that they get a little bit more consistency and shore some things up. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us this morning, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, enjoy the rest of the morning. See
you. Thank you very much. Be good, man. That is Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Good dude.
He'll be happy I didn't ask him about the upstart Vanderbilt program after knocking off our for a short time nationally ranked Tigers yesterday.
Short and sweet, though, right?
Yeah, something like that.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. That is Arthur Arkish. I'm Kevin Zipak. We're here until 12 o'clock, a Bears pregame show, if you will. The official Bears pregame show will get started at 12 today, as you can join Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz out at Connie's Pizza in Chicago for the Bears pre- and post-game shows. Enjoy 50-cent wings, specially priced craft beers, and listen to Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz from noon until kickoff, followed by Hub and James Big Cat Williams for 2 hours after the game. I'm telling you, I got wings on the brain now. I might have to go get some wings at some point today. Adam, can you order some food before we get out of here?
Yeah, sure. That's what I'm here for, man.
You're going to pay for it and have it delivered and all that,
absolutely,
too?
Absolutely, yeah. Where do you want them from? Connie's, right?
Connie's,
yeah.
Yes. Right. Connie's wings are great, and they're 50 cents today. 312-644-6767, once again, is the phone number. Back very shortly with more Bears talk on this beautiful Sunday here in Chicago. Kevin Zipek, Arthur Arkish here until 12 o'clock on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just coming off the loss, you know, you got to wait a whole week to redeem yourselves and come back and play. Then you watch guys around the league, you know, playing your peers, especially teams in the division, and you see what they done, and it just gets you anxious. You know, you get that feeling in your stomach like, man, we gotta bounce back. And, you know, if we had to win, it'd probably be a little different. But knowing we got a loss, I feel like that was a good thing, a good lesson learned for us to see how everyone's going to respond. And this week has been good so far. We just want to keep it up. We had a great day in practice yesterday, and we just want to keep building off that.
Welcome back on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak, here alongside Arthur Arkish for another half hour, just about 35 minutes here, taking you up to some Bears pregame show goodness here on the station today with Hub, Pat Manley, and Olin Krutz, of course. On the way in there, you heard the voice of Eddie Jackson, the Bears all-pro safety. Now, he's not a Pro Bowl alternate. He was like actually a real all-pro. Real first team all pro, and he's a hell of a player. He was talking about the bye week there and the long layoff that the Bears have had since that horrible, horrible game versus the Oakland Raiders in London. We were talking about this a little bit before the show, Arthur. Teams normally don't like having the bye this early in the season, do they?
No, I think ideally, like, it's smack dab in the middle, you know, week eight, somewhere in there, week seven, week eight, week nine, whatever. But, you know, circumstances dictate that too. And I think, although, you know, there's an anxiousness to get back on the field and put a better product out there, after what happened in Oakland, in light of Trubisky's injury, in light of the shuffling on both fronts, probably not the worst time for the bye. I mean, if the Bears had played last week, did they have Mitch back? I'm not really sure. So when you look at it in that regard, I think it timed up okay with the specific, you know, health things that they're dealing with at the moment.
We were talking about Ryan Pace a little bit earlier and some of the hits and some of the misses that he's had, you know, via draft, via free agency, wherever you want to look. And you brought up Anthony Miller, who was another player that Pace traded up for, which is a pattern. You know, we give him credit. He identifies who he wants and he goes up and he get him right. And he gets some draft capital be damned. But Anthony Miller had a pretty good rookie season. We have like 7 or 8 touchdowns. I mean, pretty solid. But he is another guy who has sort of been nursing various injuries, inconsistencies. I've heard rumblings about some attitude stuff with Anthony Miller. Where are you with he and his inclusion in the offense and how he fits and how important is he to get this thing looking good?
Yeah, he's critically important, and I think it was no coincidence that the Bears got him involved a little bit earlier in London, and he had his best game in almost a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the first time he's had more than 5 targets in just about a year. It was still a modest, you know, 4 catches and 52 yards, I want to say. But the nature of those catches, the huge one downfield on the 50-50 ball, the way he recovered after that really bad 3rd-and-10 drop for the Bears to open the second half, they quickly went 3 and out, and then Miller comes back, I want to say 2 drives later, and catches a couple bad balls by Chase Daniel before the deep connection. So I think he's hugely important. I was so impressed with what he did as a rookie because, again, he was playing through that chronically recurring dislocated shoulder that was popping in and out.
A little concerning, I would say.
And something that he dealt with, I believe, in college, too. So, yeah, it wasn't totally out of nowhere, but just the way that he showed his toughness and your accuracy. He had 7 touchdowns. He was led the Bears in receiving touchdowns. Not a ton of catches, not a ton of yards. So again, I think the volume with him is key. I actually asked him last week if he's the type of receiver who kind of maybe needs to be involved a little bit earlier to make sure he's in, into the game plan and into his game book, which has been an issue, not game book, but playbook, excuse me, which has been at times an issue. And he said, absolutely. He said, the earlier I get involved, kind of my mindset changes a little bit. And would you prefer to not hear that? Of course. I mean, you prefer, you know, he's just a gamer all the time, and you don't need to be kind of force-fed to get you within the offense.
But, you know, different players get motivated in different ways, and you got to handle it all differently.
You're right. And I think what he has proven to be, without question, I was alluding to it a little bit, what he did in London, he's a spark plug. He gives the offense energy as he's pumping himself up through his productivity. So I like Taylor Gabriel, a good player. He's exceeded my expectations since signing here last offseason. I think Miller potentially is a little bit more complete player, at least skill set wise.
Yeah.
And I think the Bears definitely need to get him more involved, take the pressure off Allen Robinson. And like you said, another guy that you moved up to draft. And again, by all accounts, the production as a rookie was good. But now here we are approaching the second half of year two. And like you said, the injuries, he had the ankle sprain in camp that slowed down his development a little bit. He had the surgery on the shoulder in the offseason, so he missed the whole offseason program. So you could argue that kind of Miller's season sort of starts now. He got pumped up by the coaching staff this past week. They said they're really finally pleased with where he's at in the playbook. He ripped the harness off, as you heard JJ allude to earlier in the show, literally did that on the sideline in London, the harness he had been wearing on the dislocated shoulder since last year. So he is someone that I'm expecting big things from, maybe as early as today. It is a big drop off from Marshawn Lattimore to Eli Apple. I hope that, and I know they recognize it. Hopefully Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy are able to take advantage of that fact.
Yeah, we talked about Gabriel a little bit and how, I don't want to say it's flying under the radar, but having him back today, I think, is going to be massive. You know, he was excellent against Washington, but that was Washington. There's always that caveat. They're a horrible, horrible football team. But, I mean, I agree with you. Taylor Gabriel, I think, has been a very dangerous weapon in this offense since he's been here. He's probably exceeded my expectations as well. And, you know, obviously he's a fast guy, and that's kind of his calling card. But earlier this week I was reading up on Mark Helfrich praising his increased physicality, his increased physicalness with running his routes. He's turning into more of a complete player. So it was a real bummer to see him miss that game in Oakland. I'm excited to see him back out there again today. The bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Every Sunday with the Chicago Wolves is a Little Debbie Sunday. Kids receive a giveaway at the door and get player autographs after the game. The Wolves host Milwaukee today at 3 p.m. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. That is Arthur Arkish. I am Kevin Zipak. We're hanging out here talking Bears on this beautiful day in Chicago, taking you up to our Bears pregame show, which will be with Hub, Olin, and Pat Manley at 12 o'clock. Until then, we're here. We're hanging out with you, and we're taking calls. We're looking at all the beautiful text messages. Only complimentary things, of course, rolling right in on the text line. 67011, by the way, is how you get into contact with us there. Regarding Nagy and the play calling, as I mentioned, we were talking to Eric Edholm earlier in the in this hour. There are seemingly, again, these kind of warring factions, two sides of the same coin, where some people want the offense to be dumbed down. They want to run the ball, you know, 70 times a game. They want to control the clock, ground and pound, you know, good old fashioned NFC black and blue kind of stuff. And then there's this other contingent of the fan base where they want Mitch to throw the ball 50 or 60 times a game. They want to air it out, and they want to see what you got with this kid and let him loose. Where are you with the play calling? Where do you think the play calling should be? And what do you expect today versus a tough Saints defense?
Yeah, I mean, today I would think that it should trend toward the former. I mean, Mitch is coming back off the injury layoff, and there are some dangerous playmakers in the Saints secondary. So I don't think you want to tempt fate too much, but you have to be balanced. And Nagy has admitted as much, even if he hasn't been able to kind of consistently show it, you know, through his play calling thus far. I do think there's something to what Eric said just a little while ago about the scripted stuff earlier in games. And not only that, but in what I kind of was getting to with JJ, asking him about what maybe Matt Nagy can try and bottle up from Washington and differences we saw there. At least to me, it appeared, well, it wasn't just to me. It was quite obvious. The Bears used tempo really for the first time this season in that Washington game. And one of the byproducts of that is just going to be fewer personnel changeups because, you know, you're not huddling or you're doing your little quick sugar huddle and there's just not time to do substitutions. And that seemed to agree with Trubisky. Again, he wasn't perfect. He actually started that game a little rough and he did throw the late interception, but This is the sample size we have this season to work with, and it was clearly his best game. So whether they look to more of that type of stuff, maybe try and speed things up, move some pockets, something we saw a little bit more with Chase Daniel in the second half versus Oakland and London as well, I think that these are is what I'll be looking for. Those are some of the things I'd like to see in the play calling and what Matt Nagy is able to do with it. And I think that that's probably a few ways that he can potentially help the offense here.
Phone number 312-644-6767. Kevin Zipak and Arthur Arkush hanging out here until 12 o'clock. And let's get out to Lafayette, Indiana now and check in with our buddy Wayne. Wayne, what's up, man?
Hey, Mr. Zipak, how are you, old buddy? And Mr. Arthur Arkush, the son of a legend. Boy, you guys, what a privilege to talk to you guys today.
Hey, God bless you, brother. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I heard that Knack music earlier, and Mr. Rosen, it gave me an idea. We need to plug you in. Get the Knack with Zipak on Sunday morning.
The Knack with Zipak. I like it. I'll jot that one down.
Hey, you guys, I think – love Coach Nagy. It's 1,000 times better than that Dr. Death stuff. Oh my God, what we used to hate to see Sunday come when he was our coach. But anyways, I think maybe we should have played Trubisky in the preseason more because he hasn't had so many reps as an NFL player and even in college. And I think, you know, and sometimes it seems to me, you know, as great as he is, it seems like he's a little bit timid and calling plays. Like he's maybe afraid of getting Trubisky hurt or Cohen hurt or something like that. I'm just wondering what you thought about that.
Appreciate the call. Thank you for checking in, Wayne. We always love hearing from our buddy down there in Lafayette, Indiana. That was a big point of contention during the preseason, and then, of course, how flat the team looked in the opening game versus the Packers as well. Why didn't you play these guys more in the preseason? Oh, you got to give these guys reps. How are they supposed to get ready if they don't play and et cetera, et cetera. Where were you with that in terms of sitting Mitch Trubisky, not letting him take a single snap in the preseason? Do you think that negatively affected his performance so far early this year?
Maybe. And I mean, I was certainly critical of the performances I saw daily, first in Bourbonnais and then back at Halas as far as the Bears training camp and how Mitch kind of maybe seemed to be leaving a little bit too much meat on the bone, if you will, wanting to see more at that juncture. But I also felt that Nagy has earned the benefit of the doubt from his coach of the year season and the way he did things last year and the way that he was, you know, contributed to helping players stay healthier and to the Bears having their best season in almost a decade. So I don't know. I mean, at this point, it should be water under the bridge, and
sure.
The sample size is still kind of too small, I feel like, to really know. And frankly, I haven't had the time to do any in-depth analysis of kind of seeing who started and who sat over these past couple preseasons and how maybe it resulted or didn't in more or less injuries. I think it's just all it's a bit of an inexact science.
Sure.
Yeah. But hey, you know, if Trubisky can't get it together, I get it. And Nagy admitted as much, too. He knows that he's a smart guy, and he knows when he is opening himself up to potential scrutiny. And it's one of the things I actually admire about him quite a bit, is this strength in his convictions. And when they work out, they look great. And when they don't, they don't. But I like it that he kind of has the stones.
Committed.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not going to waffle or dilly-dally or anything like that. And by the way, of course, Wayne was just checking in from Lafayette, mentioned Dr. Death, our nickname here from Mark Trestman, and of course his reign over the Bears there for a little bit. But now he is the head coach and general manager of the Tampa Bay Vipers.
Jerry Glanville is his defensive coordinator.
The
I saw.
XFL, yeah. They should get the whole cast of coach, actually.
Organized.
To be on that coaching staff there. Where are you at with the XFL? Are you interested to see this kind of car crash being brought back? Or
I guess
it's all bizarre. Anything involving Vince McMahon is just
a little bit louder, please. I'm sorry.
It's just always a little bit weird because Vince is a strange man, and he's trying to bring this thing back again after the AAF just failed. But right. I think that was due in large part to a financial thing. I mean, a lot of guys just weren't getting paid. They ran out of money quite quickly.
Right.
Is there a market? Is there a thirst for another professional football league?
Well, here's the thing. It certainly appeared from an interest standpoint like the AAF wasn't lacking for it. Like you said, I think more so it was funding to be able to keep the doors open.
Sure.
You know, obviously the abrupt nature of the way that the league got shut down. But it seemed like the TV ratings really early on were okay. The truth is, I'm not dying for another professional football league because I'm a happily married man. And if I want to stay that way, I need to not add another professional football league into my viewing
Arthur, tendencies. Hey, Arthur, you're on the XFL beat now.
Exactly.
Get to work.
I barely get to watch college football because it's just one day of the weekend I can really fully commit to it. And, sure. And quite obviously that is Sundays. But we'll see. You know, there's been a lot of other attempts at startups, and including, of course, McMahon's previous one. So I would say my expectations are very much tempered, and they're going to need to do some things to kind of gain some traction. And I think they're going to have to be more than I'm drawing a blank on some of the bigger names that were drafted this past weekend or whenever it was. But they're going to have to find a way to move a needle, I think, with some of the players and get a little bit of star power in there.
Yeah, absolutely. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. By the way, Cardale Jones is the quarterback for the DC Defenders. Matt McGloin, former Big Ten guy, I should say, New York Guardians starting quarterback.
Nice. Started a playoff game for the Raiders, I believe.
I believe he did. That's right. Speaking of the Big Ten, shout out to Lovie Smith and the Illinois Fighting Illini, their victory over Wisconsin. All apologies to Connor McKnight. I know he doesn't want to relive that, seeing his beloved Badgers go down yesterday, but we should give a little shout-out to Lovie Smith.
Yep, it was cool to see a lot of Lovie's former players, too, are sharing their excitement on Twitter, yeah. And clearly he remains a beloved figure.
Well, I still love Lovie, really. I mean, I got fired after a 10-6 season. I think he got a raw deal. I mean, we don't want to go too far back in the past here, but I don't think he was ever really appreciated for his time here in Chicago, and I think
Rex is our quarterback.
That's right. This segment brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. Papa John's is giving you a free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get a second pizza of equal or less value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That is promo code FREEPIZZADAY. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can text us and tweet us as well. You can text us at 67011. You can tweet us at Kevbo_ and at Arthur Arkish. We're going to take one final quick timeout here, come back, and get a little bit more into this Bears-Saints game today. It's a 3:25 kickoff. We'll take you right up to the pregame show with Hub, Pat Manley, and Olin. That's coming up at 12. But for the next 20 minutes or so, you got a little bit more of me, Kevin Zipak, and Arthur Arkish here on 670 The Score. Welcome back on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name's Kevin Zipak here with Arthur Arkish, and by God, it's almost 12 o'clock already, Arthur. We've really cruised through these 3 hours, haven't we?
Time flies. We've been having a blast talking plenty of Bears, and we got a big one today.
We're
not playing. I hate it when others do that, so I won't do that. There is a big game taking place.
Well, you'll be
a few
there
hours from now, and I will be there.
You'll be at Soldier Field. Are you going over there like right when we wrap up? You're just going to walk right over?
I live out in the burbs. Yeah. I don't know that I'll walk right over, but yes, I don't think I'm going to head.
Man, come on.
Yeah,
take a walk.
We'll see. Yeah, to be determined.
Well, you'll be watching the game at Soldier Field. I will be watching the game at Durbin's, 14753 South Cicero Avenue in Midlothian. You can join the Score's Kevin Zipak and Miller Lite at Durbin's in Midlothian for a 1970s-themed Bears viewing party. Stop in from 3 to 6 to meet Kevin, win prizes, and watch the Bears take on New Orleans. Cheers to 100 years with Miller Lite. The Miller Lights will indeed be flowing at Durbin's tonight in Midlothian, and hopefully for the Bears, as you mentioned, it is a big game. It's an important game, not only to get back on track after the loss in London, to get your quarterback back and get him as much on track as
some
he's
confidence
going to be able to do. Yeah, and that's a big thing. You know, you've heard it from Matt Nagy. You've heard it from some of Mitch's teammates that the confidence is a really big key for him, and it's going to be important to come out of the gate quickly, and like you were talking about with the play calling earlier, get Mitch going and get him some into rhythm and get the confidence going early in this game against a very, very tough defense.
Get the football in the playmaker's hands. It sounds a lot easier than it is, I realize, but that's what Mitch always says, and it's true. I mean, from JJ telling us about Tariq Cohen's lack of involvement to us discussing Anthony Miller a little bit, get these guys going and let's start to see what this offense is supposed to look like now, again, 22 games, whatever it is, into this tenure.
Yeah, at some point, you just keep waiting and waiting for this thing to click and waiting for Trubisky to take that next step. And for a lot of these playmakers, guys not named Allen Robinson, because he's right. been as solid as anybody, but, you know, Burton and Cohen and Miller and Montgomery, and these are guys who have had big expectations levied upon them, and they're all very talented players. I think we can agree on that, but it's been a matter of getting them in the flow of things and kind of, you know, not being such like a herky jerky start stop offense. And clearly, you know, the injuries don't help with that either.
The funny part is that indirectly, all the moves made over these past couple off seasons, trading up for Miller, trading up for Montgomery, you know, signing Trey Burton, all these big moves, Taylor Gabriel. Well, they were to eliminate any they're not supposed to eliminate excuses, but they're supposed to make sure that Mitch and Nagy have everything that they need. But the problem has been, I don't want to say that they've had too much per se, but just finding out how to get everyone involved. So it's a fine balance.
It's only one ball.
It's right. It's only one football. I'm not trying to pretend like this is the greatest show on turf or anything from a skill position standpoint, but there should be more than enough to work with here. And look, the Saints play great defense. There's no doubt about it. But you know who else is pretty good, at least pretty talented defensively? The Chargers, who will be here next week. And then when the Bears go off to Philadelphia the week after that, the opponents are going to be tough. Yeah. So when the going gets tough, you know, we got to find out how tough this Bears team is. And I think it's a lot more so than what we saw in London.
We've been on the air for nearly 3 hours, and I have not said the name Khalil Mack once on the radio today. I should be fired. He came under a little bit of criticism after the game versus his old team, I should say. I mean, he is... What can you say about Khalil Mack?
His play is above reproach.
I think that's a good way to put it. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best pass rushers of this or possibly any generation. But sometimes, and this is due to obviously the opposing team game planning for Khalil Mack, because he is probably the number one player that you do have to kind of craft your approach around. He didn't come out of the gate and play great versus the Oakland Raiders and, you know, a revenge game and his former team and all the storylines leading up to it. I don't want to say he was anonymous because he never is.
Right.
But it wasn't the classic Khalil Mack performance against the Raiders. Do you expect him to be closer to his performance that we saw in Oakland or maybe closer to what we see from him when he's at his very best today?
I think he will definitely be making his presence felt today. And again, we should add, I mean, he did recover that fumble in London, and I believe it was his pass rush that led to an interception. He was still active. He was still good. They were impossible expectations for him to match against his former team. But yeah, I suspect he's going to be really good. And it should be noted today, too, in Sean Payton, another really, really smart play caller who knows how to, you know, try and at least neutralize Mac, because you don't really mitigate him. But I think he's going to play well today. I think the fact that Marcus Davenport, who we talked about a little bit, is on the other sideline, another guy whom a team gave up 2 first-round draft picks for. Maybe I'm the only one who notices these types of things, but I have a feeling I'm not.
Yeah.
And I think Mac, between that and the combination of coming off the disappointing game in London, I expect him to be very good. Now we'll see if Leonard Floyd, again, whose coach has been saying pretty publicly this week, he's got to win more one-on-one.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised to hear the bluntness there.
Yeah, me too. And Monachino, I think, was... he was really praised him a lot too. So I think he was trying to be measured.
Sure.
No question about it, but it's time for Leonard too. And you know, these are good tackles. They're going to play in Ramczyk and Armstead, but the Bears are supposed to have among the best edge, you know, batteries in the league. And,
yeah,
and we're going to get to find out here soon.
Speaking of Hall of Famers, you know, Khalil Mack, who will be playing, Drew Brees, who won't be playing, but certainly going to the Hall of Fame as well. What do you think of Sean Payton as in terms of a future Hall of Famer, perhaps? Do you think he's done enough there? Does he need one more Super Bowl? I mean, he was kind of almost like the prototype for this modern era of coaches, you know, when he was hired initially, you know, kind of a younger guy, offensive oriented, kind of will be pull tricks out of his hat, you know, kind of goes beyond the pale a little bit at times.
Yeah.
What do you make of him as possibly, you know, getting the can at some point?
That's a really interesting question. Not one I had given a ton of thought to.
It just occurred to me.
Yeah. I think he's probably got a little bit of work to do, but I think that the influence he had in bringing Drew Brees to New Orleans and the way that they had become an institution down there together, the way that Sean Payton over the past couple of years has kind of reinvented his own wheel a little bit with Alvin Kamara. So interesting. More work to do, but I think his candidacy already exists, and he's only got a chance to strengthen it. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, I suppose that hearing Jimmy Page play the guitar means that we're done here. Does that mean that the show's over?
Yeah, we got to wrap it up.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
I just want to point out, I just realized you've been watching soccer in the studio.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize. I thought you had football stuff on. It just threw me off.
This is the beautiful game, my friend.
I know you're a big man, you guys.
So. I'm actually an Arsenal fan. They don't play till tomorrow. Thank you very much to everybody who called, texted, tweeted, and listened. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you were here with us, and we appreciate that. Thank you to Adam Studzinski, our esteemed producer. You're doing a great job. Thank you to Eric Edholm, who joined us earlier, as well as J.J. Stankovitz. And most of all, thank you, Arthur, for coming in here. And you said this is only, what, your fifth or sixth time hosting a radio show?
Not too many. I appreciate you guys showing me the ropes.
I think it went
been
pretty
a lot
well.
Of fun.
Yeah, as long as you remember to turn your microphone on, I think it was pretty good at that point. Stay tuned for the Bears pregame show with Hub Arkish, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley. Thanks to everybody once again. For Arthur Arkish, I'm Kevin Zipak. Thanks again for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.